It's 10:06. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The creative economy, that's a phrase that has become more and more common wherever economic development is being discussed. Although the term paradigm shift has become something of a cliche, there are signs that this is in fact what we are seeing. A shift away from traditional economic development models focused on government-based incentives for specific businesses and toward creating an environment that is attractive to new business by supporting the so-called creative class. How is Wisconsin doing in terms of the creative economy? How are the arts doing? Well, to find out, let's welcome this hour's guest, Ann Katz, the Executive Director of Arts Wisconsin, who joins me by telephone. Good morning, Ann, and welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
Well, first of all, I'm going to ask you to generalize about the state of the arts community in Wisconsin. How are things going in this tough economy?
Well, we are blessed in Wisconsin for because we have so much going on. Arts Wisconsin is a statewide organization, so I have the great privilege of being able to see what's going on around the state, and I get to travel around the state as much as I can to see what's going on. And I can tell you, I could spend the whole hour listing amazing things and wonderful things that are happening in the arts in every part of the state.
Well, that'd be less work for me, so go
ahead.
That's
right. We could just go on and on like that. But to sum it up, there's amazing things happening. It's not getting any easier, but I think it's a pretty exciting time right now for the arts and for Wisconsin because, as you said at the beginning of this hour, there is a growing awareness that the arts are not only part of what makes us human, but are also quantifiably good and beneficial for economic development, education, and quality of life. And that's a movement that's growing globally, and Wisconsin is kind of a microcosm of what's happening on that global level.
So, but are the politicians getting that message? Because when I look at the trends for funding things, in general, just funding the Wisconsin Arts Board, funding for arts education in our school systems, I don't see that message carried out in terms of public policy.
No, but that's what we're working on. I would say that, again, there's this growing realization. You know, the highest compliment we can give someone is that they get it. And what we see is that a growing number of decision makers, policy makers, people that are at the levels where they can have some influence over decisions, are understanding what we just said, is that the arts are not a frill, they're part of the solution. For example, Lieutenant Governor Lawton is a fabulous advocate for the arts. She's chair of the Wisconsin Arts Board. She's a very passionate speaker about the power of the arts to transform people and communities, and she's putting a lot of effort into spreading the word about the importance of the arts and arts education. That's a really important part of this. And is doing a lot from her high office to make the case. We have numerous and growing number of legislators who are understanding what Wisconsin should be doing in the 21st century. A lot of people who are in elected office are actually artists and performers themselves. Amazing. You know, we all have artistic capacity, and we all have the capacity to be creative, and that includes elected officials. And I see a lot of people on the local level who are getting it. Now, has that resulted in huge numbers, huge amounts of money yet? No. It is a difficult time right now. The economy is not making it any easier to move things forward. But, you know, with realization comes action. And so Arts Wisconsin, as the advocacy organization, is very much continuing to keep up the call to action for people who care about Wisconsin's future to understand that an investment in the arts is a really good investment in the 21st century.
Well, I guess if a bad economy was the only excuse for the state not funding the arts as well as other states, we consistently rank in the bottom 20% among state funding for the arts. That would be one thing, but according to some figures I saw on the Wisconsin Arts Board website, there hasn't been an increase in funding for the Wisconsin Arts Board since 1992.
Yep.
And the yeah. and the economy hasn't been in the dump for the entire last 16 years.
Well, you know, you're pointing out all the reasons why sometimes you think, oh God, is anyone paying attention? But you know, again, I can tell you, I'm a relentless optimist, first of all, because I do see so much going on, and I do see the change that's happening, although it's way too slow sometimes. Yes, the Arts Board has not had an increase since 1992, and that's a huge loss in opportunities for Wisconsin. And that's something that the Arts Board has come out with, the New Economy Funding Initiative, which is a call to increase investment in the arts and arts education. And Arts Wisconsin, again, as the advocacy organization, is really getting behind that and pushing that as much as possible. And all I can tell you is there have been times over the past 13 years that I've been doing this work that the budget has been bad enough that there has been real danger of losing the too small amount of money we have. And through the understanding of the politicians out there, that has not happened. And so I think now that we're in the 21st century and the whole economy is transforming, as you said, the paradigm shift into an economy of ideas, and the more ideas we come up with, the more innovation we show, and the more creative we are, the more we will be able to compete. I think that's starting to turn things around again slowly, so that we will be able to convince as many people as possible that this is a good investment for Wisconsin, and then make some change really start to happen.
We're talking about the arts in the state of Wisconsin, and we, always, welcome the input of our listeners. And here's how that happens. 800-486-8655. That's a toll-free number. Anywhere you can hear the broadcast. Well, pretty much anywhere. I understand the number does not work in Australia. 800-486-8655. 227-2050 if you're calling us from Milwaukee, 227-2050. Email works from any place the internet exists, which I think is pretty much worldwide, and the address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. And again, we're talking about the state of the arts in Wisconsin. Of course, arts funding, a big piece of that. I just want to clarify a couple of things here. Clearly, the state could get involved in the arts in other ways besides funding the Wisconsin Arts Board. There are different things that could be done. There could be more funding for arts education, for example, and that could come as some sort of a state mandate to local school districts. But let's talk about the Arts Board, for example, and its role in terms of, okay, it gets some money from the state, and what does it do with that money?
Well, it makes the arts available and accessible to the people of Wisconsin. That's what public funding is for. So the money that the Wisconsin Arts Board receives from the taxpayers, because it's taxpayer money, goes back out to the taxpayers to make the arts happen in their communities. So the Arts Board funds nonprofit arts organizations, state, city governments, county governments that are doing arts programs, performances, exhibits, educational programs. It provides, not enough, but it provides money to be able to make those kinds of programs happen. So we're talking about after-school programs for kids, in-school programs for kids, free and reduced-price tickets, exhibits that are focusing on lots of different kinds of cultural aspects. Again, it's all about making the arts available and accessible in every corner of the state. So the Arts Board does not have a lot of money to give out at the moment, but it does give its money. It does spread its money out around the state in as many thoughtful ways as possible. And really, it's all about fostering the arts in communities and empowering people to do the arts where they live.
Well, and I think one of the other things that they do is they give advice to communities that are planning. It might not always be money. There could be, George Shugros could attend a meeting and give some advice to a local group that's planning on starting some sort of arts project, that kind of thing. The expertise that's available through the Arts Board is also important,
isn't
it?
That's right. The Arts Board is a very important technical assistance provider, and Arts Wisconsin, as the private community arts development organization, and the Arts Board as the public agency that's devoted to community development, we work together quite a lot on that kind of technical assistance, leadership development, advising organizations on everything from, of course, how to raise money, which is the big thing, to what kinds of programs they should be doing in their communities. And so the Arts Board is primarily known as a funder, but it also is a very much a community development model that's really important in the state.
Well, let's talk about your organization and what it what its mission is and what you're doing around the state of Wisconsin. Give us the Cliff's Notes version of Arts Wisconsin.
The elevator speech. Well, we're the state's arts service advocacy and development organization. So we very much believe, or our purpose is to help make the arts available and accessible to everyone in the state. We believe that everyone, everywhere in Wisconsin should have the opportunity to participate in the arts. And everything we do is all about making sure that the arts, again, are available to the citizens of Wisconsin. So we are an advocacy organization, which means we not only lobby the legislature, but we speak up for the arts in as many different corners and as many different ways as we can. We do research about what the arts look like in Wisconsin and compare that to what's happening around the world. We have a huge amount of information that we provide for people on almost any aspect of arts development or the arts. We do a lot of technical assistance, training, leadership development, and we are all about creating networks that help extend the reach of the arts in Wisconsin. So we're the Citizen Action membership organization. Of course, I have to make sure that people know that, because the more support we have from the people out there who care about the arts and care about Wisconsin, the stronger we will be. So we are really, again, the Citizen Action on the ground voice of the people.
800-486-8655, 227-2050. There are lines available for you to call in and join our discussion about the arts here in Wisconsin. Maybe you're an artist who is doing well. Call in and tell us how you got there, or you're struggling and you're facing some difficulties in getting something going, perhaps funding or some other reason. Well, give us a call there too. We'd like to hear from various people around the state about what they feel. Maybe you don't think the arts should get any funding at all from the state of Wisconsin. Well, call in and tell us that as well and explain why. 800-486-8655, 227-2050. The email address is talk@wpr.org. Ann Katz is my guest with Arts Wisconsin, and you can join our discussion. We'll continue it after we take a short time out, and then we'll be right back. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn today. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 20 after 10. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn today. Here's what's coming up later on in the Ideas Network. Samuel Johnson once said that patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel. After 3 on Here on Earth, Radio Without Borders, join Jean Faraca and her guests for a lively discussion about the nature of patriotism and its place in this year's presidential election. That's after 3 o'clock here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we're talking about the arts, specifically the state of the arts in the state of Wisconsin, and I have as my guest by telephone Ann Katz, who's Executive Director of Arts Wisconsin. You can join our discussion by phone as well at 800-486-8655 or 227-2050. The email address is talk@wpr.org. Well, Ann, I guess one of the things here, there's a political dimension to this as well. That goes back a number of years. I mean, the arts was pretty much on the defensive in terms of public financing of the arts all through the 90s probably back before then. But there was a pretty stepped up attacks during the late 80s and into the 90s. As a political issue, how do you get attention for this issue when you have to compare it, or you have to compete for time on the news, in the newspapers, or space in the newspapers, time on the radio and television, with things like 62,000 jobs lost in the United States last month, the ongoing war in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and and all sorts of other things going on, the bad economy at home. How do you make the case that we need to increase funding for the arts when we've got all this other stuff going on?
Well, you know, as you have pointed out, it certainly is an interesting times that we're living in. But the way that we make the case for the arts is by relating what's happening in the world to the arts, or relating the arts to what's happening in the world. So the arts aren't something that's separate from what's happening with the economy or with education or with civic issues or with the war, for that matter. The arts are embedded and integrated into all of these things. So the reason I said it was so exciting, what's happening in the arts now is pretty exciting, is because here at the beginning of the 21st century, we are starting to have not only the great stories of people and communities involved in the arts, and there are millions of those, but we're also starting to have research, data, and philosophies that point out that, again, in the 21st century, it is incumbent upon our governments and people and our citizens to be creative and innovative. And one of the main ways that people become creative and innovative and have that kind of creativity nurtured is by involvement in creative endeavors in the arts. And so when we talk about Wisconsin's economy and what's happening right now, we're making the case, or the case can be made, and the case can be made very strongly, that we need a diversity of economies in the 21st century. We need to have a workforce that is able to be innovative and flexible and come up with ideas. We need to have communities that are lively, that people want to live, work, and play in. And all of that has to do not only with the economy and education and quality of life, but it has to do with the arts, because arts involvement in schools is going to help kids' brains learn with the skills that they need for the 21st century workforce. The economic development projects that we see around the state, with art centers and galleries and small businesses and entrepreneurial kinds of things, all of that is artistic and creative and has to do with the economy. And the whole issue of our livable communities, which Wisconsin, of course, is known for, we're all about quality of life here. That has everything to do with artistic individuals and people doing creative things in their communities, making them livable. And so what we've been able to do more and more in the last few years is use the research that's starting to be out there, the number of businesses that are arts-related, the number of jobs that are arts-related, and those are in the thousands, almost 50,000 jobs in this state that are related to the arts. We use all that kind of information one by one by one, making the case to decision makers in a relationship, or when we talk to them one on one, pointing out that our manufacturing base is changing, our agricultural base is changing, our state is changing dramatically, and we need to have that kind of creative element in there to be able to not replace manufacturing or agriculture or not save our state, but to add richness and texture to our economic efforts and to our educational systems and to our civic engagement projects. And so all of that, the arts world is speaking the language of the rest of the world, and the rest of the world is starting to speak the language of the arts, because we're all talking about creativity and innovation. And so what we have is a meeting in the middle. We're finding common ground, and there's no one, everyone can agree with economic vitality based on quality of life, and that's what the arts are all about. So we really are able to make the case more and more, and again, there are so many examples and so many models around Wisconsin that we can point to where on the local level there's really a lot going on in different communities that the case can be made. We just need to keep ramping it up.
Well, we have full phone banks, and so I'll let our callers get in on this, as I must and need to and want to. Let's go first to Frank in Menominee. Frank, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I'm just excited that you have this program this morning, especially that Ann Katz is the spokesperson, because she's probably the best in the state for advocacy for the arts.
Thank you, Frank.
And I just wanted to say that I was a public school teacher for many years and then worked for the teachers union for another great number. But I think what needs to happen is legislators need to be educated on the importance and priority of the arts. And that takes real hard work, local organizing, and local involvement with legislators to balance or to ensure that they are listening to how important it is from arts people, as well as listening to industry and business and others that are demanding public dollars. And here in Menominee, we went through a period over the last 4 years in which we raised over $4.5 million to restore historic theater. And in the beginning, the local government and the county government was pretty resistant. But after a year and a half of planning, we finally convinced them, and now we have a beautiful new facility, and it was because of advocacy. And I think Ann's organization, Arts Wisconsin, has one of the best websites in the state. And if people really want to get informed, they should go on that website, find out what they can do, get involved, start talking to people. That's what will change the priorities with respect to government, whether it's local or state or national.
Well, thanks, Frank, for that call, Ann. What's the website?
Well, that's my cue. Thank you. It's artswisconsin.org, artswisconsin.org, pretty simple. And we do have, it is stuffed full with information about the arts, and as Frank pointed out, and he's a great advocate, I can tell you that, information about how to get involved. And that's really what Arts Wisconsin's job is to get that grassroots swell of people and voices speaking up for the arts. We're really talking about a movement that's making the case, the creative movement that's making the case that the arts are, as I said before, part of the solution. And Wisconsin has a real history of community arts activities at the grassroots level for 100 years, and it has to do with the Wisconsin idea and spreading the wealth of the university around the state, and a lot of that included arts experiences. And so we're a very progressive, community-minded group of people in Wisconsin, and what we need is for people to rise up and say the arts are part of the fabric of our communities, and we believe that they're a good investment. And again, I do see that happening, and we're pushing that as much as possible.
Well, one of the things, it seems to me, and I'm speaking as someone who's lived in northern Wisconsin for most of his life, there's a real tie-in between the arts and tourism. And I know that the Department of Tourism likes to talk about that, particularly in those parts of the state where there's a pretty heavy arts footprint. But it's always puzzled me why it's been such a struggle to get funding for the arts when it's so obvious that they attract people to the state who then spend their money in restaurants and hotels and other areas.
It does seem obvious, doesn't it? Well, last year the Wisconsin Arts Board and Americans for the Arts, which is the national service organization dedicated to the arts, released a survey that showed that nonprofit arts organizations had a $418 million economic impact on the state. And that, first of all, that's a very conservative number because not every organization participated. And that's ancillary money. That's not ticket money, ticket sales or exhibit fees. That's, as you said, that's hotels, restaurants, shopping, babysitters, gas, all of the things that go into an artistic experience. So, again, that's part of the research that we use to make the case, because, it's not just that the arts are something that make us human. You know, humans have been expressing themselves creatively since the beginning of time. But when we are talking about the arts being part of the solution, the economic impact is an important factor. And one of the many exciting things happening right now is that the Department of Tourism, for the past 5 or so years, really has put a lot of effort into cultural tourism. To their credit, they've really broadened the focus of tourism in Wisconsin and have done a lot to promote arts activities. And right now they're working on a whole brand campaign about original thinkers in Wisconsin. So branding Wisconsin as a place where ideas flourish. And all of that is part of the creative mindset that we have here that people are attracted to. Because in a world where things are more and more looking like Starbucks and Walmart, people are hungry for the authentic and unique. And so Wisconsin is all about authenticity and uniqueness, you know, and creativity. And so we're finally putting a lot of effort into those that kind of mindset, and my job is to keep pushing more and more, to do more and more.
Scott in DeForest is next. Scott, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning to you both. I'm actually heading out of DeForest on the interstate right now, heading over to the west side of the state where I spend a lot of time, and I would like to preface this by saying I am not an artist at all. I have not an artistic bone in my body. However, I was raised out west and became very familiar with artist colony type towns like Sausalito, California, and Taos, New Mexico. Spend a bunch of time out in those kind of places. And there is this stretch along the Mississippi River that runs from like about Fountain City up near Winona, Minnesota, on the Wisconsin side, it's Fountain City, on down towards Prairie du Chien, these little towns like Ferryville and DeSoto.
And really all the way just past that, too, you know, all the way down to where the intersection of Illinois and Iowa and Wisconsin
yeah.
is. So.
It just strikes me that any of these places, you know, the natural beauty of the river with the bluffs, and just these quaint little towns, you just think, like I've thought about that a lot, about a place like Fountain City. It would almost be like a perfect artist colony, and yet, you know, it doesn't have that, I mean, when I go through it anyway, I don't get this feeling that, you know, there's all kinds of little arts going on. And I guess my general question for you is, how does something like that happen? I mean, how does a place like Taos become Taos? And what would it take to make a stretch of the river like this, you know, or a certain place in it, into an artist colony? I know they're a little, you know, somebody's got a picture shop here, somebody's got a, you know, photo display there, but just that whole kind of, I think the nearest I can think of is a place like McGregor, Iowa, where you go to that and you really feel like, oh, yeah, this is like a little art and crafts community. What would it take to make something like that out of a place in Wisconsin along that stretch, do you think?
Well,
hang on a second, Ann, before you answer that. Scott, I'll just recommend something to you. If you want to see a community like that, visit the Shawamigan Bay.
Oh, okay, great.
Yes, I mean, yeah. You know, again, if we mention any community in Wisconsin, we're going to leave out another dozen that are, you know, just as artistic. But one of my favorite sort of facetious phrases is, there's nothing you can't do with time, money, and staff. So in places like Taos, or in places like Bayfield and Ashland, or Mineral Point, or Door County, or, you know, really, again, I'm leaving out too many communities. Because
poke your finger on the map, you're going
to
hit an arts community in Wisconsin.
That's right, I have to look at the map, and I can, you know, I mean, really, Racine, Kenosha, Janesville, Beloit, it's quite astounding. But what happens, the way that these things happen is that one or two or four, whatever, people say, here's an idea, let's try to do it. And those one or two or four or whatever people push and push and push and work very hard and have usually no money to work with, and come up with creative ideas and know people to talk to and find ways to promote what they're doing. And then that group of people becomes eight people, and then the next group of people becomes 10 people, and then it becomes, again, you know, it becomes a wave of people working on an issue that keeps building on itself. And so Taos undoubtedly started out that way, and, you know, Door County and Bayfield and Ashland and all of the Racine and Kenosha and wherever all started out with one or two people having an idea and really working hard on it. You know, Frank from Menominee before talked about the political issues that they dealt with, and that's a fabulous example of how these things work, because the powers that be said, no, we can't do that the first time around, but the people in Menominee were not, you know, they may have been discouraged, but they kept on going. They didn't say, oh, well, I guess we should give up. They said, okay, well, what can we do next? What's the other strategy we can find? How can we make this work? And they kept figuring it out until eventually the city of Menominee gave a very generous donation to the Mabel Tainter, and it's a beautiful facility. I got to see it last week. So persistence and energy, not necessarily money. Now, of course, I've been talking about funding for the arts, and funding is very important, but you have to start with enthusiasm, energy, and passion first. And you have to have that kind of enthusiasm, energy, and passion be contagious and get other people involved. And so there are a lot of communities in Wisconsin that are thriving artists' places. There are also a lot of communities that are working on that idea, and that's a lot of what we do, is help everybody work on those ideas. But it takes that kind of passion first, and it takes a kind of long-term vision that we see in so many successful projects.
Let's go next to Ellen in Green Bay and see what Ellen has on her mind this morning. Ellen, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Hi, John. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Ellen.
I actually have been sitting on hold for a little while, and one by one, all the topics that I was going to bring up have been discussed. So I think I'll go a different direction. First of all, I want to thank you, Anne, as a member of the board of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. I'm really grateful for the ongoing partnership that we have with Arts Wisconsin. So I'm glad to see you on the air, hear you on the air this morning, and for the good work that you do. I would like to also mention that it's not the supporting the arts in Wisconsin has more to do than just advocating for more money for the Wisconsin Arts Board. On a statewide level, a lot of things have been happening recently that I'd like for you to touch on. One is the Task Force on Arts and Creativity and Education. I think Joy Cardine had the Lieutenant Governor on her show last week. But the other is the Film Wisconsin Initiative that creates incentives for filmmakers to come in and make films in Wisconsin. I think I read recently that a recent film with Johnny Depp was filming around Oshkosh and Columbus and brought, $10 million of economic impact to the state or something like that.
It was the big topic.
So there have been a lot of things going on. I'd like for you to touch on those, although I should say that I'm not in Green Bay today. I'm in Michigan, and Michigan also has a film initiative that they're pushing really, really hard, and Michael Moore is heading up the commission. So we've got some competition there. Would you like to just comment on other statewide initiatives besides just funding for the Wisconsin Arts Board?
Well, yes, I would, and thank you for bringing that up, Ellen. These are part of some of the very exciting things that are happening right now. Arts education has become a huge issue, and as Ellen said, Lieutenant Governor was on with Joy Cardine last week, speaking very eloquently about the arts as part of a comprehensive education to help students learn for the 21st century world that they're going to live in. And the Lieutenant Governor and the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Elizabeth Burmaster, who is a former music teacher and a former fine arts supervisor for the Madison Public Schools, have joined together to lead a task force on arts and creativity in education. They've assembled a very high-profile, high-powered group of people from the arts, education, business, government, civic, political worlds to come together and talk about what the arts mean to 21st century education and why it's so important to have that kind of creative process infusing education in the 21st century. And so that task force, as I said, is a high-level group that is going to look at the state of arts education and make policy recommendations for this next budget and for the future, because we need to have those kinds of policies in place to be able to guide what happens on the local level. And Arts Wisconsin and the Wisconsin Alliance for Arts Education have been assisting by generating research that is helping to benchmark the state of arts education in Wisconsin, which we're going to present to the task force in a few weeks. And so arts education, I think, is going to become much more of a topic of discussion in the out there in the political world and in the arts and education worlds, because it is so critical to 21st century education.
Well, that's all well and good, and I don't mean to play the devil's advocate here, but there's the elephant in the room as far as the local school districts are concerned. There's several. Actually, there's a whole herd of elephants in the room. First of all, you've got No Child Left Behind. which doesn't include any emphasis in the on the arts at all that I'm aware of. You have
the
right
arts as a core subject, actually, I believe, but it's
okay. But
it's
there's
got
no
its
money
issues,
behind
that's
it.
For sure.
Yeah, and there's the emphasis is on testing.
Right.
The emphasis is on assessment. If you ask any school teacher, that's really a bad term. I have to quit using it. If you ask any of the teachers in our public schools in the state of Wisconsin, you know, pick out a buzzword that makes everybody go batty, and that's the word is assessment. And you've got school districts who are faced, particularly rural school districts, faced with just monumental increases in the cost of transporting children to and from school, and a host of other issues, health care, the rising cost of health care and so forth for school districts. The point I'm trying to make here is you can put statistics in front of people saying we need to do this, and yet if there isn't the political will to put money behind those policy choices, then you're really not going to get anywhere, are you?
Well, yes. I completely agree with every single thing you said, and that's why we're pushing to create that political will. I mean, everything you've mentioned are certainly the I don't know what the word to use, the challenges out there, the roadblocks in the way. But because we and so many other people around the state believe that we have to move the conversation forward, we have to move the state forward by investing in creativity in the arts and in our kids in the 21st century education, then we are working on building the political will to get rid of those two to get rid of those challenges and to be able to move forward. I can't disagree that it's difficult. But, again, that kind of groundswell of support and understanding and passion that I see on the local level is really starting to change things. The fact that the lieutenant governor and the state superintendent and a number of very important people in the state who are concerned with the state's future are coming together to discuss this issue it may seem just like a bunch of talking heads, but I think it's a very important step in bringing attention to the issue. And all of those kinds of efforts are strategies that are breaking down the barriers and moving things forward, again, way more slowly than we can bear. But I do see a paradigm shift, as you said before, and that's what we keep moving towards.
Mike in Milwaukee is up next this morning. Good morning, Mike, and thanks for calling in to participate.
Well, I feel 180 degrees in the opposite direction from you.
Oh, and tell me why.
I think that art cannot be subsidized like a socialist state. Basically, artists are creative people, and by funneling money around, you're ruining art. And the reason is, of course, is because people are going to go after the money, and there's going to be politics involved to disperse that funding. And so consequently, true art is not predicated upon free gifts from the state. It's predicated on creative power, which appeals to people, and that's why they elect to buy the art that they do. And I just think that I don't want 2 cents of my taxpayers' money to go for anything more than what it has to go for already, because taxes are quite high. And so, consequently, if you are that concerned about art and artists, then I think you and all the people that you're talking about should get together and fund it yourself. Just don't tax me.
Well, I appreciate your opinion, and I guess we'll agree to disagree. But I guess I'll respond by saying the arts will happen whether there is funding or not. You know, as I said before, you can't stop human expression, but you also can't separate people into people who are artists and people who are not artists. In my career, I have run into hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are anything but artists in the public eye. They're teachers, they're social workers, they're doctors, they're plumbers, they're dentists. They are also incredibly artistic, and they do amazingly creative things. Those people are just as much artists as any person who, quote-unquote, makes their living as an artist. And so what we believe is that everybody has the power to be artistic, and so that's going to continue regardless, and we want to make sure that continues. And one of the ways we make sure it continues is by using, is by calling for an investment by the state to help people find that creative path. So there's lots of art should not be determined by how much money you can pay for something, or how much you can contribute. It should be something that is out there and available to everyone, and have, so people can have a lot of different choices. And so that's why we think that public investment in the arts is important, because it really it levels the playing field. It makes opportunities available to people who might not otherwise have that opportunity. And again, in the 21st century economy and educational system that we're dealing with, it's a good investment for Wisconsin.
Well, and just to, I guess I would like to pursue this a little further. What you're talking about, the arts, the creative economy, is would perhaps speak to a concern that Mike has about taxes, and that is if the economic times improve in the state of Wisconsin, the tax burden will be spread across a greater number of people, and everybody's individual burden would be less.
Well, even in tough economic times like we're in now, the state has to invest in its economic prosperity, or it has to invest in its economic future, and it has to invest in its people. And so we're calling for a shifting or an expanding of the state's priorities to include the arts as part of that investment, and so that we, and for people to see the arts as part of the economic efforts, the business development that we have out there, part of the educational system, and part of the whole civic engagement. I would bet that Mike and other people out there who are calling for lower taxes also enjoy the arts activities that are in their communities that are free to the public or low cost to the public, but are not free to produce. And so we believe that our priorities in the state should include investment in the arts.
We have full phone banks, and I want to try to get to as many of those callers as we can. We do need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll go right back to the phones. I'll just ask everyone to try to be as succinct as possible, as we are rapidly running out of time, as often happens in radio programs. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn today. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. Here's what's coming up after 11. Well, here's a show you won't want to turn your nose up at. Sense of smell may very well be the most important of all. After 11, Larry Mueller's guest talks about the importance of the sense of smell. That's coming up next hour here on the Ideas Network. This hour, it's the arts. Specifically, the arts in Wisconsin. That's what we're talking about. And helping us to discuss this issue, we have with us by phone Ann Katz, who's the Executive Director of Arts Wisconsin. And as I said, lots of phone callers who want to get involved, and some have been on hold for a while. So let's get to Stan in Milwaukee next. Stan, good morning.
Good morning. I just have a problem with the term funding the arts, which is different than funding an artist. Of these 50,000 art-related jobs in Wisconsin, I'm willing to bet that 2 or 3% of them are actually artists that support a family on that wage. I think when you talk about funding the arts, you're talking about funding organizations institutions like Ms. Katz is a talking head for. I'm wondering how we can have less advocacy and more support of people actually trying to make a living making art, as opposed to people in tourism or education, or all this support is support for other institutions.
Well, to respond to that, I would say that the root of any institution the root of any arts organization are the artists. The institution exists to provide opportunities for artists or performers or anyone in the arts to do their work. So when a public funding body like the Wisconsin Arts Board funds an arts organization, they're providing money that goes to artists and performers to do their work. And I guess my other response would be that what I've learned over the years is that the definition of making your living as an artist is very broad, and it really depends on what an individual thinks of the way they want to make their living and live their life. And so there are people who are making their living as artists who are working in institutions as well as producing works of art. And there's a long, you know, hundreds of year old history of artists being supported in their work, which still happens. And funding from a state agency going to an arts organization or to an artist is one of those ways. One of the other things I've learned in my career is that the funding comes from a lot of different places. When we talk about the Wisconsin Arts Board as a catalyst for funding, that's certainly an important source, but there are a lot of other ways that funding goes to artists to make their living.
I would say it's a trickle-down sort of thing, and the director of any of these institutions would make far more than any of the dancers or the educators or anything else. So once again, it's funding these institutions that have the artist in mind, but very little money gets to the actual artist. And the art will be made whether it's funded or not. I'm in agreement with Mike on this point that even if you stop funding art, art would be made. The institutions would suffer, but there would still be art, and there would still be economy, and there would still be creativity. I'm just thinking that your actual yearly income could support 30 or 40 artists part-time or full-time.
Oh, I wish it were that much, believe me.
Well, I could do it on $7,000 a year.
Well, you know, again, what we're calling for is a diversity of funding streams. It's not just public funding. It's private support. It's people participating in the arts, buying works of art, buying tickets. But what you're saying in some ways has to do with the whole changing nature of what we mean by art. We do have a lot of wonderful institutions that are presenting and producing and exhibiting works of art, but in the 21st century, a lot of more and more the way that the arts are being disseminated are by people creating their own YouTube videos or making their own music whatevers. I think about my 14-year-old and connect, you know, everything he does through the different electronic screens that he's connected to, and a lot of that has to do with artistic expression. And so it's a pretty complicated universe that we're living in, and not any less complicated when we talk about the arts. But again, what we're calling for is our ways for everyone, everywhere in the state to be part of the arts, regardless of whether you're a person who makes their living in the arts or someone who doesn't think of themselves as an artist and participates in the arts, but that there needs to be all of those kinds of things going on. And again, if we're talking about the Wisconsin Arts Board, that's an important way to get funding to be able to have those things happen. And then Ellen before mentioned the Film Wisconsin, which I didn't get a chance to talk about, but there's a whole new film industry out there in the state now, which will provide ways for actors to be employed. It will provide ways for artists to be employed doing things like creating sets and designing costumes. So that's another part of the economy that is providing new and improved opportunities for people to make their living in the arts.
I think we have time for one more really quick call. Catherine in Johnson Creek, we're going to go to you next. And Catherine, I hate to do this, but you need to be really brief.
Hi, Ann Katz. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm an art teacher and an artist, but what I want to bring up is the fact, going back to the little kids, the core curriculum has to be tied to art. It's not representative as that, and with this No Child Left Behind, it kind of ties into that. We're teaching to the test. The businesses out there want thinking people. We need to have the arts as part of a core curriculum, because this is all tied together, and that's what I really wanted to kind of talk a little bit about. Going back to that, the man that said, if you don't want your taxes to go to this, well, gosh, you know, clothes are made by designers. Then he shouldn't go to any movies because those are, you know, designed by people that are artists. He shouldn't drive his car because that was designed by an artist.
Right.
I could go on and on, but anyway.
Okay, well, we're about out of time, and I'd like
you
to give Ann 30 seconds to close things up here. Ann,
well,
you got
you
half a minute.
Well, I think you summed it up very well. Certainly, all five-year-olds are artists, and by the time we get to be a little older, it starts to get taken away from us too often, and so what we're seeing is that there's a lot of people calling for arts involvement in education and in civic arenas. And so those are some of the things that we're working on to find ways to infuse the arts into the curriculum.
Ann, thank you so much for being my guest this morning.
Thank
Appreciate
you,
your time today. Ann Katz is the Executive Director of Arts Wisconsin. If you'd like to know more about them, you can go to their website, which is artswisconsin.org. If you'd like to listen to this program all over again, you can do that by going to WPR.org. Rhonda Fanning produced the program. John Anderson answered the phones. And I appreciate their time as well. Stay tuned. Larry Mueller is coming up next, right after the news from National Public Radio. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Kathleen Dunn this week here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.